Well, we're looking this morning at Mark chapter 2 that we read just a few moments ago. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. It's a fast-moving Gospel. He packs a lot into it. And of course, his intention, his purpose, is to tell us about the Lord Jesus. We were just singing there a minute ago, no work too hard for him. And Mark and his fellow Gospel writers, they want us to see the uniqueness, that the premium that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to see that this person is like none other, and therefore he is worthy of our praise and our adoration and our service this morning. He's quite transparent about what he's trying to do. At the beginning of the letter, he says that he wants to tell us about the good news about Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, who comes as the fulfillment of the promises that God had made to his people down through the generations. But we discover that some people are just not ready to receive that. They're not ready to recognize who he is. So we're going to come to this passage this morning, and very simply we just need to ask ourselves, what is going on? Why is this passage here? And it's actually quite revealing, because very simply what we've got here is that. Right, here we go. Jesus performs a miracle that everyone can see. And that's the healing of the man who cannot walk. Everybody who was there, they saw it. Jesus performs his miracle, everybody sees it, and it's irrefutable. He came in carried on a mat, he goes out carrying it over his shoulder. And he does this in order to demonstrate that he can perform a miracle that we cannot see, which is the forgiveness of sins. So there's kind of two things going on here, something we can see, something that we can't see, something which is very physical and very tangible, something which is essential and long-lasting. A physical healing that is seen, but through that, Jesus does it to underscore that he has the power and the authority to do more than that. He is the one who has got the ability to forgive sin. And the forgiving of sin is something that only God can do. Only God can forgive our sin, because our sin is an offense against him. And so it's God ultimately who forgives sin. I'll just say that again. In healing the paralyzed man, Jesus performs a miracle that everyone can see in order to make the point that Jesus is able to perform a miracle that we cannot see. And that is his unique ability to forgive sins. And that's something only God can do. So if only God can do that, this is telling us something important about the Lord Jesus. It's telling us that he is God. So just in those 12 verses, that story which we know so well, ripping the roof apart, the astonishment of the crowd and all the rest of it, at the heart of it, it's pointing us to something significant about Jesus Christ. So you see, Mark takes us into the big stuff straight away. We're just into chapter 2. And he's in there right away at the heart of what's at the center of the Christian faith. It was two or three weeks ago, we were in Mark chapter 1. A guy was preaching, and do you remember how he spoke about the theme music? That if we hear a tune that is familiar to us, we immediately associate it with various things. It might be the theme music for a program. It might be music from a musical, and immediately it sort of takes you right to that place. It might have been a romantic moment for you, when this particular tune is attached to some very extra special starlit night when you, well, never mind what happened, but the theme music, it takes you right there. And the theme music at the beginning of Mark is basically the song of the Old Testament. Someone is coming. This is he. And we discover that Jesus fulfills that. The Son of God comes. And here in chapter 2, in chapter 1, we see that this person who comes, he's got the ability to cast out demons, he's got the ability to perform miracles, He can heal people. If you like, all that's been done in chapter 1. So what does this bit in chapter 2 add? It's another healing, but it's another healing and something really significant we're being told. Not only about what is seen, but what is unseen. The miracle to raise someone up who's paralyzed, and the miracle to bring forgiveness into people's lives. And Jesus says that at the heart of this passage is this little phrase in verse 10. It's so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So we don't have to second guess what's going on here. Jesus spells it out. It tells us who he is, and it tells us what he can do. And it's because of who he is and what he can do that we meet together this morning to worship him. If he could not do those things, then we're not doing anything very different from the people that go and watch football on a Saturday here in Ipswich, except we feel good about it when we leave the church. It'd be basically the same. But it's because of the uniqueness of Jesus, who he is and what he can do, that we need to pay attention to who he is. This is absolutely foundational. This is bedrock. The Christian faith is centered on a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who came into the world to deal with sin, the barrier that is between us and God. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ, only in him, is there forgiveness and wholeness. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59, it says it as simply as this: it's your sin that has cut you off from God. Now, sin is a word that the Bible uses, and it's a very important word to be aware of. The Bible tells us that sin is something that separates us from God. The Bible tells us that our sin is an offense to God. It grieves him. The Bible tells us that our sin must be judged by a holy God, and that he will do that in a way which is just and transparent. Now, the word sin is used over 170 times in the New Testament. And it's very interesting to see the different ways in which this word is spoken of. Just remember, Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So this word sin, it appears, as I say, over 170 times in the New Testament. And it's spoken of in five different ways. First of all, it's spoken about in terms of missing the target or missing the mark. The picture would be taken, for example, from archery, where there's a target away in the distance, and the objective, of course, is to hit the target. And yet, if you're unsuccessful, if the arrow falls short, or if it goes off in the wrong direction, it'd be called sin. Sin. In other words, missing the mark. And sin is the failure to hit the mark set by God. Secondly, the New Testament speaks about sin in terms of stepping across a line. Sin is stepping across the line that God has set. We all know what it is sometimes to step deliberately across a line. The sign says, keep off the grass. For some of us, it's just too much of a temptation to comply all the time, and we just have to go for it. It's a deliberate stepping across the line. And sin is stepping across the line of truth and falsehood, right and wrong. It's about the choices that we make. We do it in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. We know this should be an area that we shouldn't go to, but we intentionally put our foot out. And you know, I've discovered that if you put one foot out, the other one follows it quite easily. It's a kind of natural reaction, isn't it? And we discover that before we know it, we've taken ourselves into a place where we shouldn't be. The third way that the Bible speaks about sin is that it speaks about sin being like slipping across a line. So it's not as kind of intentional, but nonetheless, you still find yourself on the wrong side of it. I don't know now if the rules have changed, but certainly when I was younger and used to play basketball at school, I didn't really have the height or the build for it, as you can understand, but I used to get in deep with little ankles. At that time, certainly one of the rules of basketball, and we've probably got an expert around the church this morning, it used to be that even if your foot was on the line and you caught the ball, that was judged as being out. And sometimes, you know, your trainers would slide on the gym floor. The line was there. You were going for that ball. You can just picture it now, can't you? That athleticism I have. Just going for the ball, and your foot just slips across the line. It's not what you intended, but momentum kind of just took over. And over you went. And the ref would blow up. And it'd be, I don't know, what was it, a line out? Or was it a chuck in? I can't remember, but... The foot had just slipped over the line. It wasn't intentional. But you had gone outside the boundaries of the court. You had transgressed. You were where you shouldn't be. And because you were where you shouldn't be, you're in trouble for it. It's easy to slip into sin. It's easy to be swept away by some impulse or just thoughtlessness. That's why we need to be aware of where the lines are and stick to them. The fourth word that the New Testament uses, it talks about lawlessness, which quite simply is a determination to do wrong. It's the sin of knowing what is right, what is the right thing to do, and yet choosing intentionally, consciously, rationally to do the wrong thing. Knowing what the law is, but choosing to break it. Those of you who have got points on your license this morning, I'm not asking who you are, don't worry, we won't name and shame. For some of us, actually I included myself there, but that's just empathy. I have none at the moment. But for some of us, you know, it just slipped. You know, we were going along and the hill was there and it just slipped. And before we knew it, we'd slipped over. For others, it was, I really like going fast and I'm going to do it whatever. No, 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 no. Sin is spoken to in terms of lawlessness, choosing to break it. And finally, the Bible speaks in terms of the words debt. Jesus uses it in the Lord's Prayer. Trespasses, debts, a failure to pay what is due, a failure in duty. It's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? Those five words that are used in the New Testament, missing the mark, stepping across a line, slipping across a line, determining to do wrong, failure to pay what is due. It chimes with all of us, doesn't it? We all know that in some of those areas, in all of those areas we have erred, that describes us, that's where we have been, that's where we are. That's where, because of our fallen nature, we cannot help but go sometimes. It separates us from God. It puts us on the wrong side of Him. It means that we are offensive to Him. It means that one day we will be judged. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, we're a long, long way from Mark chapter 2. We read a nice story about a fella getting lowered through a roof. And Jesus raising him up, and off he went home with his bed on his back, and everyone was amazed. How come we're into all this stuff at the moment? But actually, we're not a long way from Mark chapter 2. We're actually jammed up right against it, cheek by jowl. You couldn't really get much closer. What can I do about my sin that separates me from God. What can I do about my present failures? What can I do about that which will shut me out of the presence of God for all eternity? What can you do? What can you bring? Just like the paralyzed man, you can't get up on your own. That's your condition. You can't put it right by yourself. You need the help of another. And Mark tells us, front and center, very on in his gospel, that not only is Jesus validated as God through the miracles that he performs, but he's set apart like none other because of that miracle which he can do, which is unseen, which is the miracle to forgive sin. And Mark's saying, through this incident, he didn't make it up, you know, he's just telling what happened, but through this incident, we're seeing that this person is not only God, but that he is the one who can forgive sin. And it's only through meeting the Lord Jesus that our sins can be forgiven. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God. You think you can work for it? No. You could work your fingers to the bone, it would never be enough. The gift of God, the amazing kindness of God, the grace of God is such that there is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's just amazing. It's amazing. The thing which separates us from God that we perpetually do, the thing that deserves his judgment upon us, the thing that offends him and grieves him, he provides the means of forgiveness. And that forgiveness is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's absolutely at the heart of the Christian message. That's what sets apart Christianity from everything else. God has come into this world, and in Jesus Christ, and in him only, there is forgiveness of sin. And it's only through Christ that we can be made clean, and it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be made acceptable to God, and it's only through him that one day we can have the assurance of being with him in heaven forever. He alone has the ability and the authority, the power to forgive sins. And the crux in the passage is this little section. I'm just going to read it to you because I think it really says it for itself. Verse 5, we're just going to read. When Jesus saw their faith, certainly that's the men. The people? The men, verse 3. Certainly that's the people who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus. When he saw their faith, Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, they might have been bemused by that. They would have thought, well, actually, we didn't really think that's why we were here today. We thought that we were here in order to enable our friend to be able to walk again. But Jesus intentionally, he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, verse 6. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Nobody can forgive sins but God alone. Only God can forgive the sin and the hurt that's been done against him. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. Elsewhere, it talks about, either Matthew or Luke speaks about their evil thoughts. "Why are you thinking these things?" Jesus said. "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to get up, take your mat, and walk?" Which was easier for God to do? For him, he could do either, couldn't he? He could do both. And then he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Sorted. Sometimes at the end of sometimes at the end of an equation, don't know why I couldn't do that this morning. Proof of a theory, people will put the letters QED, which is a Latin abbreviation, meaning basically, this has been demonstrated, sorted, finished, result. That is the answer. The teachers of the law, they were saying, weren't they? Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus says, well, in order that you might know, get up and walk. It's pretty smart, wasn't it? QED. Sorted. Finished. Proved. Accepted. Everyone there knew what had happened. The problem is that for some of us, we still question it, don't we? You cannot underestimate the importance of the issue of sin. You can research and debate. You can put together all your models. You can put in your supporting arguments. You can find your evidence, all of which are really useful things to do. But at the end of the day, we're left with a situation, no matter what end we come to in our thinking, we're left with the issue of sin. And you can't argue your way out of sin. You can't work your way out of sin. You can't please your way out of sin. Sin is sin, and it's present within us. It's part of our DNA. It's what separates us from God. It's what will shut us out from the presence of God. And Mark is telling us, front and center, that the way our sin is dealt with is through coming to this person, the Lord Jesus. That you might know that Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. Rise up and walk. And off he goes. The thing that he was carried in on, that he depended on, now as a symbol of his new life, he puts it on his shoulder and he walks away. And everybody is amazed. So this morning, Mark wants you and I to remember and to be thankful that Jesus is God. Because he's God, he's the one who can forgive sin. Of course, we know that Mark moves on to a point where he focuses on the death of Christ, where, of course, ultimately Christ dealt with our sin. He wants us to know and appreciate that. And not only to know it, but to come to this person, to put our faith and our trust in him. So that faith will be rewarded with the new life that Christ can bring, with the forgiveness that only he can give, to be made new creations in him. So we're going to carry on with Mark over the next few weeks, but really get hold of that this morning. Mark tells us about a miracle that Jesus performed, which is seen, namely the raising of the paralyzed man. And we're also told about an unseen miracle that only Christ can do, and that is that he alone is able to forgive sins. We're not trusting in Christ this morning for the forgiveness of our sins. We've still got a problem. We're not trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We've got nowhere else to go except to come.